Good morning, church. Good morning, online family. It's lovely to be on holidays, but I'm sure you're all gathered together and you're having a great time this morning. So today we start our new sermon series. We will look at not being afraid. One of the things that the scripture is really clear about is that we should be without fear. Yet I'm going to be brave enough to say, easier said than done. Fear has its benefits though. It plays a key role in keeping us alive. Yet on the flip side, it also has the potential to steal our joy and deprive us of the best lives we can have. When the seriousness of coronavirus became apparent to us, there were many who became incredibly fearful. And there was much panic purchasing. Even in these times that threaten to bring us to our knees, Jesus still wants us to cast all our fear on him and to not carry it around like a great burden around us. We don't have to live in the grief of fear. We are expected to be sensible, though, and we know that fear is very real, and we know that it is real in many and varied ways for each one of us. This world provides plenty of opportunities to live in fear, but as disciples of Jesus, I hope you will know that the filter that forms our decisions is very different from this world. Our filter is not the same as the filter this world has to offer. In fact, the Bible tells us that we should not be conformed to the image of this world, but we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can test and approve what God's will is, his good and perfect will. We, Jesus' followers, are not of this world. We are not like everyone else. We are not to live in fear. Let's think about three ways that we are not like this world. Firstly, we live by faith and not by fear. And I'm sure many of you have got that chorus running through your mind right now. In fact, when Jesus was comforting his disciples, he said, "Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And he went on in verse 27 of Mark to say, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I don't give you as the world gives. And because I don't give as the world gives, do not let your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid." Perhaps living in fear and anxiety is your story this morning. Perhaps that is your reality. It is the reality for many. Perhaps now is the time to take Jesus at his word and accept the peace he offers in replacement of the fear that the world offers. The peace of God is a gift. How many of you have ever received a gift, a beautiful wrapping, big bow, lovely card, thanked the person for the gift and sat it on the shelf? We don't do that, do we? We unwrap it. We're excited. We want to enjoy whatever's in our gift. Our God is giving you the gift of peace, peace of mind, peace of heart. So why would you leave it wrapped up? Especially if you know what's in the box already. You wouldn't leave it wrapped up. You would open it and make the most of it. When the rest of the world lives in fear, we open the gift box and he gives us peace and stills our hearts. A peace that not anything in this world can understand. To be honest, sometimes I don't even understand it. It comes in waves that drives out all fear, all oppression, and brings the joy. It's a peace that only comes from heaven. Our God is always faithful, always in control. Our God is good. Our God has a plan. Our God will never leave us nor forsake us. I had to draw on this truth of God one day many years ago. I have a very vivid and wild imagination, which I passed on to my son. One night, my brother-in-law chose the movie for us to watch, and so we watched it. He does scary movies, but the rest of us can't cope with a scary movie. But we watched it anyway. It was a psychological thriller, the name of which escapes me now. While watching this movie, I had massive regret about 5 seconds into it. I looked around and everyone else seemed fine, so I kept watching as well. It must have been 45 minutes into it when I noticed my sister was curled up in a ball with her hands over her ears, and Wes had forced himself to go to sleep. My brother-in-law, however, was having a great time. I felt sorry for him, but I had to put an end to the movie. I said, "Sorry, buddy, it's just too much." My heart had been racing for so long, and the hair on the back of my neck was standing up, and I started to feel physically sick that I was never going to get out of this cycle of fear that I was in. He hadn't realised that the fear level in the room had got to such a high level. So the DVD player went off, the lights came back on, and all was returned to normal. So I thought. It was a rainy night, same on the movie, and I needed to take the wheelie bins out. So with my heart full of Jesus and false conviction, I went out into the rain with my wheelie bins. I got to the curb, brave as you like, and that's where my fear took over. I was frozen to the spot, being soaked by the rain in the eerie quiet of our street. I tried to move, but I couldn't. I desperately wanted to go back inside. Regretted being the hero who could take the bins out because I was fine. My fear of what I had just seen on TV was trying to control me. I don't know how long I stood there. In my mind, it felt like a year. It may have only been seconds, probably seconds. But as I stood there, I eventually forced myself to pray. In my fear, I realized I couldn't even pray. But I pushed hard and I pushed past that. I forced myself to pray and reclaim my power over the fear and the darkness. I've never been scared of the dark. I'm still not scared of the dark. But in that very moment, with the fearsome images that I just watched on TV, they became a real thing in my fear. Then I made the decision to walk back to my house and not run like a crazy woman whose imagination was chasing her. By the time I got inside, I was drenched and my heart pounded incredibly hard. The world had offered me a form of entertainment that induced a real fear in me. And the fear in me is that what happened in the movie would actually happen to me at some point along my journey. The world had offered me entertainment, an entertainment that I couldn't cope with and didn't cope with. In Jesus, however, there is peace, and I don't have to cope with that. Watching or not watching, that's a choice. But I use this as a small illustration this morning that is some people's real life fear and pain, that somebody will snatch them off the street, somebody will deliberately hurt them, somebody will be the fear in the dark that never leaves them. For me, it was just a moment in time, and I'm sure I was gone less than 5 minutes, as when I got back to the house, nobody actually missed me because I wasn't even gone for that long. For me, at that time, it was all-consuming, standing on the curb of my street, unable to let go of the wheelie bins because fear had taken over every part of my mind. We, as Jesus followers, we live by faith and not by fear. We also live by common sense, and my common sense told me, as much as I love my brother-in-law, I can't watch a scary movie. Secondly, we are sacrificial people, not selfish people. Now, technically, we are selfish people. Without Christ, we have the tendency to be incredibly selfish, self-serving. But not in our redeemed nature. Our redeemed nature in Christ is not selfish, it's giving. We reflect His nature. So as followers of Christ, we are not selfish, but we are sacrificial in what we do, how we live, and what we want others to live like as well. Paul told the believers in Philippi this. He said, "Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself." What we have to understand is, as the body of Christ, we put others' needs before our own. And we want to put others' needs before our own. In the early church, they were encouraged to see each other, to meet together regularly, not just over the cuppa on a Sunday morning. Throughout the week, they were encouraged to gather in each other's homes, to gather in the worship places, to gather outdoors. They were to meet. By spending more time together, we are better able to meet each other's needs, just as they did in the early church. You can't know what's happening with a person by a once a week, half hour cuppa. That's not a relationship. That's a cup of tea. Gathering in homes is allowed now. Gathering in public with a certain amount of people is allowed now. Gathering unselfishly to give of your time, treasure, and talents has always been allowed. There is a time for everything, self-care and care for others. We are not of this world. We live by faith and not by fear. We are sacrificial and not selfish. And thirdly, we are the light. Jesus is the light of the world, and we shine that light. We don't hide it. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp, and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Therefore, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and praise the Father in heaven." We don't do what we do in order to be praised. We have a greater agenda than the mere praise of other humans. And that agenda should be, in all we do, our light should so shine that Christ is all they see. Unfortunately, during these times of great fear, that light might not shine as brightly as it used to. And I want to say today that that's okay, because we're reclaiming that space. We're reimagining how we bring Jesus to people. We're relighting the lamp that was so rudely doused in the first place. Some days our light will shine brighter than others. And when our light can't shine its brightest, there will be others whose lights are shining brighter. This is the body of Christ working together. We are not of this world. We do not grieve as those who have no hope. We are faithful, sacrificial light bringers. So this morning, if you are overcome and overwhelmed by what the world has to offer, I get it. I don't stand here before you this morning as a person who has never suffered with anything. I have moments where I would rather not shine my light because I'm tired or I'm stressed or my anxiety level is a bit too high to cope with. But I am always reminded that God is faithful and I press towards the goal. I stay in my lane and I run my race and I give my God all that I can and all that I am. So I encourage you to step into your role as a faithful, non-selfish light bringer, to give Jesus all the glory in all you do. The team are going to come and play. Take this opportunity to hand over any fear that might be holding you back and stopping you from living your best life.